You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. I'm so pumped you're here because I've got a longtime friend of mine, Dr. Anne-Marie Gorsica, and you're going to see she's wildly brilliant, and she's a great author, and she's a great teacher, and she teaches me so many things. Like, it keeps me on my toes, and I know she's going to teach you something too. And she's written a brand new book, At Your Service, and we're going to be discussing how you create five-star customer service in your dental office. You're going to love this. You're going to absolutely love this. Now, if you're showing up for the first time, because we've got a lot of dental students showing up, I always like to just say welcome. And this podcast is about one thing. It's about making you better. Because when you're better, your practice gets better. And you know what? Your life gets better. So you can expect that from us every single time. So keep showing us up. Show up and hang out with us. And today is no exception. Anne-Marie, I'm so pumped you're here. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, as always.
Yeah. So you guys are going to see, like, I'm just going to say this at the beginning. Like, if you haven't read her books, what are you thinking? Like, they are so well written. You put a lot of care and concern, and you write so well. You're a wordsmith, and I've seen photos of where you're writing on Facebook. You do, like, the coolest. You've got the coolest settings for that. And I think I'd be a better writer, too, if I was actually sequestering myself in these beautiful locations to write and think about dentistry. But I want to start here, and I want people to know who you are. I know we got a lot of people that have listened to you before, but who is Dr. Anne-Marie Gorsica?
Well, Kirk, I'm an orthodontist. I've been in private practice in Northern California for 32 years, and I have a passion for dental practice management. And my books are really the summary of projects that I've done with my own team over the last 32 years. So this fourth book, the At Your Service Five-Star Customer Care, is really the result of a 2 to 3 year project that I did with my team, where we focused intensely on customer service and worked on the project as the team. And for those of you who buy the book, you'll see in the book that there are some testimonials from my team members who contributed to the book and worked on the book with me. So the team members might find that interesting.
I love that. I love that. Now, you've been doing this a long time. You're really sharp. And if I'm a new dentist listening to this, I'm going to be distracted by a lot of things. You know, there's going to be technology. I can build a building. I can do this marketing. As we're talking about customer service, you said 32 years. How important is this subject we're going to cover today?
Well, customer service is everything. Everything. Because I want the listeners to remember this. Who is the boss? Who is the boss even of the dentist? The boss is the customer.
Okay.
The customer pays your paycheck. Mm-hmm. So the better service that you can give, the more you will be rewarded. And customer service is everything. We are a service industry. Dentistry is a service industry. So customer service is what we do. We are providing care for our patients.
Yeah.
And how well we do it is the value of our customer service.
Yeah. And I love the in-depth approach that we're going to have. We're going to approach it in a couple different buckets, because customer service isn't just texting your patients or giving them a warm towel. It's bigger than that. And so take us on this journey. So if I'm listening, break this down into the buckets in the way you see it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to break it into three categories: culture, care, and climate. And before you jump into care, which is what most dentists will think of, I want you to think seriously about your culture, about your team culture, because culture is what the patient feels the second they walk into your dental office. Mm-hmm. And as we've spoken about before, Kirk, culture is not optional. Culture is the sum of the behaviors that you choose as a team to have on your team and acceptable or unacceptable in your practice.
Okay, go back to that. Cause you're talking my jam now. Cause it's behaviors. It's not feeling.
Right. Chosen behaviors.
Explain that.
Chosen actions.
Okay.
Chosen behaviors, chosen actions.
What does that mean to you?
What does it mean? Well, this is actually going to be in my next book that I'm going to ask you to write an endorsement for, but I'm going to share it with the listeners today.
Okay.
Because this is an exercise that you can do with your team that I've done with my own team, which will help you define what is the winning culture that you are putting together and working to maintain. So it's very easy to do this. Ask your team, have a team meeting, and ask them to write down, what are the winning traits that we want on our team? What are the traits and behaviors that we are screening for and looking for on our team? And collect those responses and go over them as a team. So I actually have my responses here. I can read for you from my team.
I would love it.
I have 26 responses of what we would like, the positive team traits of our winning team culture. 26, here they go. Appreciative, caring, diverse, educated, energetic, enthusiastic, experienced, fun, friendly, generous, hardworking, hospitable, humble, inspirational, kind, loving, meticulous, outgoing, professional, positive, polite, reliable, respectful, smart, social, and well-rounded.
Okay.
These are 26 positive traits. These are the sum of the behaviors we choose to have on our team.
Yeah.
And this is what we recruit for, these behaviors, because you want A players on your team. You're looking for A players. So how are you going to find them? You look for these traits. Now, if you have a winning culture, you have a good culture, and you want to sustain it, you must be intolerant of those behaviors which do not sustain your culture. Okay. Or destroy your culture, or minimize your culture, weaken your culture. And you can also have the exercise, what are the traits we will not tolerate on our winning team?
Right.
What now, are we not going to put up with?
Okay, so, because this is so important. Now, if I'm listening, and you guys are listening, you're like, Dr. Anne-Marie, I totally get it. Like, I understand, but like, not everybody on my team exhibits those behaviors. And there's sometimes where it's triangulation, and sometimes team members aren't nice to each other. There's got to be a steward of the environment, somebody that upholds those, right?
And you've got to discuss it openly.
Okay.
You've got to discuss it openly. You know, And we've, at my office, I have to say, I'm very proud of my office. I'm very proud of my team. Everyone is extremely good, extremely engaged and involved. And there is a learning curve. When you hire a new team member, it is common that they may start out and test how are they going to view absenteeism?
Okay.
Are they going to accept it, or are they going to say, this is a problem for us? Absenteeism is a problem for us. You know, you have to address it immediately and, right, and let the person know this is not going to work out on a small team.
Right.
So as the second part of the exercise, have your team write, what are the traits not tolerated on our winning team?
Okay.
Now, this is interesting. I have 21 traits, but if you go through these traits, all 21 really come down to one, in my opinion, bad attitude, right?
Right.
The other 20 are a subcategory of that right. first major thing, which might be considered bad attitude. But what cannot be tolerated? Bad attitude, obviously the headliner. Blaming others. Bullying, brutality, drama, incompetence, lack of time management, lateness, laziness, messiness, negativity, non-team player, poor attendance, poor judgment, rudeness, selfishness, unknowledgeable, unprofessional, unreliable, untrustworthy, wasteful, right?
Right.
These are things you can't allow in the workplace. They're very hard to, if you want to have an excellent, excellent culture. So they need to be addressed immediately. But once you do this team exercise and you have your traits listed, you can even put them right in the team handbook. So the day you hire someone, they know we're not going to tolerate these things.
Right.
Then you're going to have less of a problem that people won't follow that behavioral pattern.
Yeah, I love it.
So culture is big. And we've also talked about what are your core values. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of culture. So at our office, we always say the core values are clinical excellence, outstanding customer service, and a great patient experience. And everyone on the team knows the core values. And in my office, they're on the wall. I actually have them printed, put on the wall.
You sent them to me. I loved it.
How can you not know the core values?
Right.
Also, the mission statement. Peter Drucker said a mission statement should fit on the back of a T-shirt. It's very short. Our mission statement is caring professionals serving valued patients. 5 words. So mission statements are usually short. If you think of Kaiser Permanente, it's one word, thrive.
Wow.
Or Nike, just do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So a mission statement should be very short and everyone should be able to remember it.
Yeah.
So a few other customer service things. Kirk, you're a very energetic person and you're also
you
a very grateful person. Right.
Yeah.
And if I ask you, how are you doing today? I know you're going to say something wonderful. You're going to say fantastic, great, amazing, whatever.
Better than I deserve. Grateful.
Yes. Yeah. And your team in serving the patient is going to ask every patient, how are you today?
Right.
And the person's going to respond. And then they're probably going to say to your team member, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
And you want your team member to give a positive response.
Right.
So go over with your team. What are you going to say when a patient asks you, how are you doing today?
Yeah. You can't say fine. Fine.
Is it going to be great? Is it going to be fantastic?
Right.
Is it going to be happy to be here? But what you don't want for outstanding customer service is, well, I'm kind of having a bad day. I'm not feeling that good, whatever. You don't want a downer of a response. You know, whatever might be going on, if it's in their personal life, leave it at the door.
Right. Now,
when you come into the office, remember you're there to serve the patient.
Yeah.
You're there to serve the patient.
Now go back to that. Go back to that. Because I want to ask you, because this was a turning point in my career, is that somebody helped me understand attitudes and moods aren't the same thing. Like, as a human being, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have days where you don't feel great, but that's a mood. And it's out of bounds to externally manifest a mood. And what you're talking about is like, I don't feel that great. I'm going to tell everybody I don't feel that great. There are days I'm not feeling 100%. You know, I'm feeling pretty good, but not 100%. Or I don't. The external manifestation is what you're talking about. So my projection onto other people is like, I'm not going to lie, but I'm also not going to. I'm going to project a positive outward, a positive caring, a positive, like, not necessarily to show you everything that's going on in my life right now, right? Is that what you're talking
about? Yes. Make the choice to serve the patient.
Love it.
Make the choice to serve the patient. Leave your problems at home, leave them at the door, and make the choice to put all of your attention toward the patient.
Love it.
While you're at work. That's what you're paid to do. So give a positive response. Happy to be here. Great to see you. Fantastic. Whatever. But make it a positive response.
Yeah. You know what I say to my kids? This is a great one. You guys can borrow this. So my kids will go, Dad, how's your day? I'll go, great. You know why? They'll go, why? Because you're in it. And they'll go, stop it. Like, it's a fun. And after a while, they get kind of, they're like, stop it. I already know what you're going to say. And I go, but it's true. My day is great. You know why? Because you're in it. And they'll go,
that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. So keep going.
Now, another positive customer service phrase you can use is pleasure to be here, pleasure to serve you. Mm-hmm. When the patient asks you something, stay away from using the term no problem.
Oh my gosh.
No problem.
My skin is crawling when you say no problem. Like, because I know exactly where you're going. It freaks me out when dentists go,
because
no problem.
Because that's a negative term. It's a negative term. Yeah. And you don't even know what the patients are hearing a few feet away from where you're talking. You might say no problem, and all they hear is problem, and they're thinking, there's a problem?
Yeah.
So stay away from that term. That is not a customer service term.
Instead, I should say what? Where I know where you're going to go with this.
My pleasure. Thank you. Please and thank you.
Yes.
Wonderful to see you. Wonderful to serve you.
Yeah. There's a hotel chain called the Ritz that uses that, and a fast food restaurant called Chick-fil-A that 61,000 employees will adopt and use all day today. My pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. I love what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'd like to go over some more customer service phrases.
Please.
That your listeners can write down and memorize. And go over with their team. And I'm going to go from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 words. Okay.
Let's do it.
So 10 words. I apologize for our mistake. Let me make it right. Okay. The customer is always right. Even when they're wrong, they're right. So apologize. I'm sorry for our mistake. Let me make it right. Mm. You don't ever want to get in an argument with a customer.
Right.
You know, even if they're wrong, don't make them wrong. Make them right.
Love it.
You know, number 9, thank you for your business. See you again soon. You cannot say thank you enough.
I agree.
Number 8, I'm not sure, but I will find out. Now, you're going to be asked a lot of questions. Patient asks you about their insurance balance. Maybe you don't know the answer. I'm not sure, but I will find out. And you will find out. If you see it, you own it. If you hear it, you own it. You don't pass the buck. You follow up until you get the patient their answer, whatever that might be. You might not know the answer, but you're going to find out for them. Number 7, what else can I do for you today? What else? Before you release the patient, before you sit them up in their chair and say goodbye, what else can I do for you today? Do you have any additional questions? Is there anything else I can do for you? Number 6, making the appointments. What is most convenient for you? Now, you might not be able to give every patient a 4:30 p.m. appointment, mm-hmm. right? all my patients want 4:30 appointments. What is most convenient for you? 4:30 on Thursday. Well, I have a 4:30 on a Thursday in 10 weeks, or I have a 2 o'clock in 4 weeks when the doctor wants to see you. What is most convenient for you? Let the patient decide. If 4:30 on a Thursday is really what they want, give them the 4:30 on the Thursday, even if you have to book it out, way out.
Okay.
Number five, how may we serve you? Okay, at the front desk.
Love it.
At the front desk, how did we do? How did we do? Yeah, I like that question at the end of an appointment. How did we do? Oh, you did great. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you think you could give us a 5-star review on Google? Now, if they say it was kind of rough today, mm-hmm. Oh, then you can discuss that. Oh, how so? Well, whatever. You get the information. Yeah. Better they tell you than write a review somewhere.
Agree.
Because you can make it right. Number three, glad you're here. Now, glad you're here, is that three words? It's like saying, I love you. It's like saying, I appreciate you. Glad you're here.
I love that.
Yeah. Two words that you can never say enough, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then the most powerful word in customer service, yes. The word yes.
Why? Tell us why.
Well, you ask the patient something. Could I take a bathroom break? Yes. Could you lift up my chair? Yes. I'm a little cold. Could I have a blanket? Yes. I need a drink. Yes. The more you say yes, the more you're making your patient happy.
What if somebody asks you for a bourbon? Can't say yes?
Well, you cannot say yes to that. But you say, well, yes, you could get that when you get home. You could get that.
But what about something that maybe you don't offer? Would you say no?
Well,
like, how would you approach that?
Well, here's the thing everyone wants. Do you have Saturday appointments? Do you have Saturday appointments? Yes, that would be great. Unfortunately, at this time, I don't have the team for Saturday appointments. But yes, you're right. That would be really great. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're so nice. You say that so nicely. I go, nope. Absolutely not. Or heck no.
No, I say, yes, that is a really good idea. Yes. We'll take that into consideration.
Okay.
But at the present moment, I don't have the team for that. You know, I used to have Saturday appointments when I first opened my practice. And it's a great practice builder. When you're first starting out the first 5 years, it's a wonderful thing to do. The two problems are the team doesn't want to work on Saturdays because they've got their own kids sports, kids soccer, kids baseball. And the patients also don't want to show up.
Yeah, you only have to work a couple Saturdays, book a whole Saturday, and then it's really nice out, and then you're looking at empty chairs, and then your spouse is angry because you missed everything because you were looking at empty chairs, and then you go, I'm not doing this anymore. And so,
If you're single and you've got plenty of time and you just opened your brand new practice, by all means do it. But if you have a family, that is precious time on the weekends.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it can't be replaced. Your children's childhood cannot be replaced. So that's the way it is for a dentist. Well, we're professionals. Most professionals don't work on Saturdays.
Oh, I agree. And this is your show. Yeah. Like this episode is your episode. So we should have you back. Like you and I'll have a glass of wine and we'll debate out the Saturday thing because I'm extremely opinionated on Saturdays. But that's not for me to say here. This is
right.
So okay, cool.
So now, another phrase, which I call our external mantra, is we will take great care of you. Mm. That is a powerful phrase, especially in the exam room. When you are doing an exam for a new patient, before the doctor leaves the room, turn to the patient and say, we will take great care of you. Yeah. Or I'm turning you over to my treatment coordinator. We will take great care of you. You know, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to say to your patient.
Now, can I just ask you, because you guys, if you're listening, you're getting some gold here. Language matters, right?
Language matters. And the most excellent customer service, when you look at the Ritz-Carlton or even Walt Disney World, 90% of what they say is scripted. Mm. Now, we don't want to sound like robots, but we do want to practice polite, professional customer service language.
For sure.
To make the interaction as pleasant as possible for the patient.
Absolutely.
So putting these things in place, it's going to take a lot of leadership up from the doctor to maintain the standards of excellent customer service. And one of the things you're trying to instill in the team is building a relationship with the patient, to genuinely care about the patient, and to go from having to serve the patient, learning to serve the patient, to wanting to serve the patient, to loving to serve the patient.
Right.
When you start to love it, and when you're saying, oh, I can't wait to see this patient today, you know you have really gotten to know that patient on a personal level. And personalized care is the highest level of customer service.
Yeah, and let me just couple that with this, because Anne-Marie, you've seen this. Like today we're talking about customer service, and I'm telling you, if you're a dentist listening, you can do it. You got to get your systems in place though. Like it's not one thing just to, you know this, Anne-Marie, more than anybody. Like if we don't have this place organized, it's hard to love anything, including yourself, and you're constantly miserable. So this is really important what we're having, but it's also coupled with organization. When you have a day that goes like it should, now you can give your love to people and you're not worried about, I hope somebody shows up. I hope this room gets turned over. I hope the instruments are there. Like, I hope, you know, those things are going to be done.
Right. And you know, two things that can diminish a mood of happiness that you can work on is, number one, don't over schedule.
Every dentist over schedules, you know, and you learn you shouldn't do that. So what does that mean?
Well, you don't want to be rushed.
Right.
You want to start on time. You want to end on time. And when your schedule is under control, you are going to be happy. You're going to be relaxed. You're going to spend quality time with your patients. You're probably going to be more productive. You're probably going to produce more dentistry because you have the time to do what you need to do. And you're not spinning your wheels. You're not just patching things up.
Right. Because
you're actually.
One of the learnings that you have is you think you're producing more by putting more in your schedule. And then you realize this is not, it's working the opposite way that I wanted to. And when you slow down and give more care and more time and do things the right way, number one, you reduce mistakes. Number two, you're doing more comprehensive dentistry. Number three, you're giving more love to people. And it really, really works, right?
And you don't want to go back and have to do something that you could have done that day if you had the time.
Right.
And this is especially true for orthodontists. You know, I see no benefit in seeing the highest number of patients in a day humanly possible, because there are two things I want to be able to accomplish in my day. And that is, if I do a new exam and I want to do a same day start, I want to be able to fit that patient in to the schedule, because that is very important to me. Number two, if the patient comes in and they have a broken bracket or a loose band, I want to be able to fix it that day. I don't want to tell the patient, I don't have time to do this. I think that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Someone comes in, they've waited 8 weeks for their appointment and they need to have a bracket rebonded and it's on their front tooth. That's your business card walking down the street.
Right.
You have to have time to fix it. So I think when you slow down your schedule a little bit, if you're an orthodontist, you'll find that your cases finish more on time. You'll actually be more productive, more efficient. And I think your team will also be happier.
Yeah.
And I think the patients will be happier too.
That's one of the cornerstones of orthodontics. You got to start and finish on time. You know, there's a lot of things that are introduced, but you're exactly right. I love it.
Yeah. So the last thing I want to talk about is recruitment of customer service leaders, your team. You want to find A players. And if you want people who smile at work, you need to interview and hire people who smile. You can't teach someone to smile. You have to hire the people who are already smiling when you hire them.
Right. I thought I could change people, though. Like when they're not smiling, I can get them to smile once they come to work. Is that true?
No, it doesn't work that way. So you want to hire A players, and people will do what they see and hear. So you want to lead by example, and you want to work on these things, these customer service phrases, and the customer service that you want your office to provide. You need to work on it. It's right. It's part of who you are and part of your team. So I'd like to talk a little bit about complaints. How do you handle a complaint in your office? Because when we think of customer service, if you think about the department store, the customer service department is actually the complaint department.
It is in most cases.
So let's say you do get a complaint. How do you handle it? Well, you listen. You say, I hear you, and sympathize. Say, oh, that's too bad. I'm so sorry that happened. Whatever it is. Ask questions. What can I do to make it right? Mm-hmm. Propose a solution. Okay, let's do this. Ask if the solution is satisfactory. Would that be okay with you? Okay. If not, ask what would be satisfactory. Grant another solution. How about we do this? How about we do that? Explain why the solution would be satisfactory, and then come to an agreement. Now, you're not going to come to an agreement with every single patient in the world, but usually if you care and you go through these steps, you will come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to tell your listeners about four types of complainers, but one type that they have to avoid. So there are four types of complainers. There's the I'm okay, you're okay. The I'm not okay, you're okay. The I'm not okay, you're not okay. And I'm okay, you're not okay. So let's go through each type.
Okay.
So I'm okay, you're okay. That's 95% of the population. Something happens. Let's say they come in and the retainer isn't there, or the crown hasn't been delivered by the lab. And you apologize, say, I'm so sorry, the crown hasn't arrived yet. It'll be here tomorrow. 95% of the people will say, that's okay, I understand, it's okay, let's just reschedule for tomorrow. I'm okay, you're okay, I understand things happen. There's one type of person, the I'm not okay, you're okay. That's the person who's a little bit fragile. That's the patient that has to go into the quiet room. Okay, they can't be disturbed. They're going to get a little upset. You put them in the quiet room. As long as you're okay, they're going to be okay. But if you're not okay, if you're nervous, you're rushed, you're upset, whatever, that is going to rub off on their personality, on their fragile personality. So those are the patients you have to be very careful about. Now, the I'm not okay, you're not okay. Those are the grumpy cat patients. There is nothing you can do to make them happy.
No.
Don't take it personally. That is their personality. They are just grumpy people. And just accept it. You're probably really not going to make them that happy, but you're going to do the best you can to serve them and things will go well.
Right.
Okay. Now, the patient you have to watch out for. The I'm okay, you're not okay.
Okay, what does that
mean? Neither were the last five dentists that I just quit. That is a very dangerous patient. And in a naive world of lack of experience, your ego is going to set in and say, oh, but I can make them happy. I'm different. I'm different from those other five dentists that they didn't like. No, you're not. And in the end, it's going to bite you. Mm. So that is the one patient you need to send to the university because it is a problem patient. and they are going to cause problems for you.
For sure.
Every appointment is going to take an hour. They're going to take five times more time than any other patient in your practice. And they're going to cost you time and money. Yeah. And they're going to cause you frustration. And you need to be careful about that patient.
Agreed.
Okay, care. Let's move on now to care. Your patient experience, all right? In general, the patient experience has three main things that you can hit on. The warm welcome. Every patient needs a warm welcome. During treatment, you're going to do all kinds of nice things for your patient, but you're going to use your patient's name a lot. Use your patient's name a lot. And I have one little trick in my exam room because I can never remember the patient's name. I actually put a little stand with the patient's name, like, "Welcome, Sally." And the little thing is sitting on my treatment coordinator's desk so I can see Sally. I walk in the room, "Sally. Good morning, Sally," right? Mm-hmm. And it's very helpful.
Absolutely.
So if you need a help like that, you can either have the assistant write the patient's name on the paper on your tray, or you could have a little sign like that in the exam room. Welcome. And during your appointment, there are lots of nice things you can do for your patient. I won't go through them all, but one of my favorite things is, and Fred Droyle actually gave me this idea, to give your patient a blanket during treatment if you're doing a long procedure. It turns the experience a little more into a spa experience. You want to make sure that your office is appealing to the five senses, the sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste, even if you give your patients water. Make sure that the appearance of your team, the team uniforms, it looks really professional, looks really good. And you want your office to be extremely clean.
Yeah.
You know, we always say, sit in the treatment chair, look up at the ceiling, look at the floor, look at the cabinet, look around. What does the patient see? And you might even want to schedule once a year a cleanup day. Take your office, divide it into sections, assign each team member a section, and just really get out the wallpaper or paint scrubber, you know, those things you buy in the grocery store to clean the walls, and just really clean your office really well. Even if you have a cleaning service, I have a cleaning service that comes every night, mm-hmm. but they're not going to really clean the windowsills the way that my own team members would do. So take a day and do that. Have a team day cleanup.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then the final thing I want to talk about a little bit is climate. And okay. I always describe my office, I want it to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Okay. What is the climate of your office? And you create your own climate. You choose your own climate. Now, you're always working to make your customer service better. So at your team meetings, you're going to discuss, how can we make our customer service better? Mm-hmm. What the Ritz-Carlton does is they collect the management system improvements in a giant notebook, and they've collected over 1,071 things that can possibly go wrong. And they call the notebook Mr. Biv, MRBIV. And what that stands for is mistakes, rework, breakdowns, inefficiencies, and variations. So as you review things in your own office, you can do the same thing. As you put your systems together, you can put them in a notebook and say, this is what we're going to do so this never, ever happens again. So let's say, for example, the crown doesn't arrive on time. Okay. How are you going to prevent that? Well, you're going to assign a person 2 days ahead of the appointments to go in the lab and check off that everything that needs to be delivered 2 days from now has arrived. Now, if it hasn't arrived, you still have a day to call the lab and tell them, hey, are you going to deliver it tomorrow? Because we've got our patient on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And if the lab says, for whatever reason, we can't do it, or the impression or scan wasn't good, you still have time to call your patient and say, we have to reschedule. So you want to get your systems in place for a delivery of outstanding care.
Yeah.
Rework, that would be the quality of your scan or quality of your impressions. I always tell my team, if you have to ask me, is this good enough? It's not good enough. Don't even waste my time, because right. You're already thinking, I don't know if that second molar, if I really got the end of that second molar the way I needed to. Breakdowns are usually in communication about the money or the treatment, or you want everything in writing, make sure all the contracts are signed, that kind of thing. Inefficiencies are mostly missing patients, missing in action, missing their appointments. How are you going to prevent that? Maybe you have a patient who needs to come back for a service and it's been 6 months and they haven't come back. You need to send them a registered letter. Like, if we don't hear from you within 30 days, we're going to consider that you're gone, you know? And then variations are usually variations in the schedule, like emergency appointments, things like that. How are you going to communicate variations throughout the day?
Right.
So one thing you can do at your team meetings, you can ask, what is one thing we could work on this week to improve our customer service? You can usually work on one thing. You probably can't work on more than three things. I would limit it to maybe three things you will work on every week. So once you put all these things in place, then you need to preserve what you've worked on and make sure that your systems are being followed. And when the communication is clear, it really makes the work environment great for everybody.
Yeah.
Because there are no surprises.
I love it.
There's no stress when there are no surprises.
That's a great way to put it, because everybody's on the same page. You've got expectations. You can execute really well. And all these things there's tons of opportunity in every practice. No matter where you're at, don't feel bad if you're like, oh, we don't even have the basics. That's fine. Start somewhere. If you have a great practice, that's another great thing to think about, is like, there's always room for improvement in applying these things. I don't know that you can provide too much customer service. I don't think it's ever been done, you know, but you can always tweak things along the way. I love this stuff. Any last thoughts that you have on customer service?
Well, I would just say have fun.
Right.
Have fun and express your personality, whatever that might be, whatever you love. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of your patient, think of your best friend from high school.
Yeah.
Someone you haven't seen in a long time that you really enjoyed spending time with. All right. And now greet your patient. But think of your best friend.
I love it.
And be happy at work. You know, have fun with your team. Because your own enthusiasm, your own love for your own practice will be transferred to your patient.
Yeah, and it's exponential when people see that. And so I totally agree with what you're saying. The more you can be yourself, and what you do every day is an expression of, you know, your love for the patients, what you do, it comes alive in this whole process. Now, I want you to talk about your other books, because I love your books. So like,
thank you.
And then one of these days, you're going to teach me how you write books, because you you do an excellent job of keeping another one in the queue ready to go. And it's like, every time I turn around, she's written another one. So tell us about all of your books. I'd love to know about all your books. And where can I get them?
It all started with, my first book was, It All Starts With Marketing.
Yeah.
And I wrote that one first because that is really where it all starts. When you open your practice, it all starts with marketing. So that was my first book. And my second book was Beyond the Morning Huddle. And the reason I did that one second is because HR management is extremely, extremely important. And I think it's the most challenging thing that there is for any dentist. Then this book was actually my third book.
Okay.
It really was the result of working on customer service with my team. I mean, we worked on it, and every week we would go over the Mr. Biv, and we would go over what we would call the T3s. We used to say, what are three things we could work on this week? And we always could think of something. Like a common thing would be on time, stay on time, seat the patient on time, get the appointment done on time. It seems the scheduling is very, very important for customer service.
Yeah.
And then my last book was the treatment coordination book, which I really enjoyed writing that one. I would say in terms of having an impact on my own practice, that book had the biggest impact as far as management systems, collecting the money, making the phone calls, getting systems in place that have to do with financial services and getting the new patient started.
Yeah.
That is the best book for that.
I totally agree.
My next book is done. I'm doing the second edits. As soon as I get it to the editor and I get it back, I'm going to send you a copy. And I'm hoping we'll have it done by the end of this year. Right now, I've got 340 pages. I'm trying to get it down to 300.
Goodness.
And when you write a book, you write. The writing is easy. The writing can be done 6 to 12 months max. You'll be done. The editing takes forever.
Okay, so I would debate with you. The writing and the editing and everything else is difficult for me, but like you're amazing.
Yeah. The editing takes forever, and you want to be careful not to repeat things and have it organized so it makes sense. So that's where I'm at right now with that one. And then after that one, I've got one more that I want to do, and then I'll be done.
So,
but I write the books that I always wished I had had.
Yeah.
What I learned the hard way over 32 years, just piecing together everything I learned from everyone out there, including you, including everyone I've ever talked to, anyone I ever heard, knew. And I think that these systems need to be documented.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice when someone graduates dental school that they can just buy a series of books and say, wow, this is what I'm expecting. So I don't know, when culture comes up and when they have someone on their team with a bad attitude, they'll go, oh yeah, someone warned me about that.
Yeah.
Someone warned me that absenteeism is a problem.
It's a huge
problem. How am I going to handle it?
Yeah.
Right?
It's so funny too, because you know, the practices that have the best culture, people are never sick. Even when they're sick,
no.
They come in and you go, you should not be here. You need to go home. You send them home, right?
Well, in my practice, I don't have any problem with absenteeism.
Yeah.
People show up all the time and I don't have a problem, but we don't tolerate it. So let me give you an example. I hired someone once. It was summertime. And the first Friday of her employment, she called in sick. Now, the first thing I say to myself is, what makes a 22-year-old sick on a Friday? It's unusual, isn't it, in the summer? So, you know, we sit down and have a talk with her, say, what happened? Oh, I was sick. Okay, well, you need to take care of yourself better, you know, because you need to get enough sleep. You need to eat properly, exercise, stay healthy, right? Next Friday comes. She calls in sick again. Well, it's summertime, you know? So at that point, we sit down, we have a talk. Look, this is not going to work out for us. We're a small team. We need people who show up. So I'm just warning you, I'm telling you, this is a problem. The next time you call in sick and you don't have a doctor's note, we have no previous notice, that's going to be your last day.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound a little, but you can't have people you can't rely on. You just can't have it. And once you do that, I've had people I've done that with who were never sick another day in 10 years. I mean, they just knew that, you know, for this job, I have to show up. Now, it's not like we don't give people time off. Anyone can have a vacation day. They have 3 weeks paid vacation a year. If they want to take Fridays off, they can. Just give us 6 weeks notice. Just let us know ahead of time. Yeah. Don't call us the night before.
Yeah. I love this stuff. Yeah. So I'm just going to say to anybody, I'm going to echo the sentiment you expressed a little bit. Like, you've spent 3 decades collecting this knowledge and wisdom. And I'll tell you, as a listener, you guys, she put it all in books. There's nothing better than that. That's pretty gracious of you to share all of your secrets. Now, I love all of your books. They all have tremendous value. And Take Action actually is my favorite as of today, because it is chock full of, like, oh my goodness, I found myself highlighting a ton of the book. I'm like, this is brilliant how you say this, even how you discuss money. And so we've done a podcast on that, and we're going to do more with you in the future. And we'll kind of tell everybody, listen, you guys as listeners are going to have to take it the rest of the way. I'm going to highly encourage you to buy all of her books and then take a look at them, read them, and then share them with your team. You'll be glad you did. And it'll save you years and years and years of heartache, because she's learned some lessons the right way. So Anne-Marie, I am just so happy to call you my friend. You teach me stuff all the time. So thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate
it. Well, it's always fun to talk with you, Kirk. And I'm just going to leave your listeners with the final customer service message.
Tell me.
The platinum rule of customer service: treat people the way that they would like to be treated. That's the platinum rule of customer service. And when you know your patients so well that you can talk about what they want to talk about or serve them the way they want to be served, that individualized attention is really the highest form of customer service.
There you have it. Bam. That's all you need to know right there. So awesome. Awesome. So awesome. Well, thank you for everything. I really appreciate it. And stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else.
Thank you.
Yeah. But thank you guys.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Look at that. My pleasure. I love it. And thank you guys for joining us on the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, like I know you did, do us a favor, just hit the share button, share it with your friends, because we always love to spread the good word here. And keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see on the show. You're going to see I have Anne-Marie back again and again and again. And I'm going to dish the hard questions to her, and we'll get the answers straight from the experts. So hope you guys have a great day. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.